In a world saturated with podcasts, Two Brothers, One Bible stands out as an intriguing addition to the audio landscape.
Ooh, that was good.
What do you think about that?
That's good.
I don't have any idea what that means.
No.
Welcome to Two Brothers, One Bible podcast.
We are so grateful that you joined us today.
And we are back for yet another episode of Two Brothers, One Bible podcast. I'm Robert Wakefield.
I'm Peter Searson.
And this is our First John series, and I hope that you've enjoyed this First John series as much as I have, Peter.
I really have. I love First John.
You've actually done lessons here at New Song Baptist Church on all three books.
Yes.
First, second, and third John.
I did, yeah.
It was one of my favorite studies I've ever
done. Well, thanks, Robert. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Well, you can pay me for saying that.
Well, and I can't take credit for it. John wrote it.
He did.
I just talked about it.
Well, you did a great job talking about it. There you go.
I mean, he gives us a lot to talk about.
Yes, he really does. So we're going to begin in 1 John chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 9. Do you have that in front of you?
I do.
There? Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead and read that.
Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness.
Oh, man.
Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness, and they do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Boy, here's a good one. Starting right there in verse 9, you've got to talk about anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness.
You know, that word hate, we don't use that word hate. We shy away from it. We'll say, I don't like them. I don't care for them.
All
but that's not what John's giving us. He's giving us an either or. You either love or you hate.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in fact, the definition of hate is the absence of love.
Well, there you go.
So there's not a middle ground here.
So there's no... Because I'm looking for a loophole here, and there's not one.
Yeah. you know, I had a guy actually tell me this, Robert. He said, I don't like you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He said, now, I love you because the Bible tells me to, but I don't like you.
Okay.
Now, I will submit to you, I think it is impossible for us to not to say, I love you, but I don't like you.
I think I don't think you can do that.
No.
I don't think, they're too closely related.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you don't like someone, they just cancel each other out.
They do.
Yeah.
You can't, I use the tomatoes because I love homegrown tomatoes.
Yeah.
You either like them or you don't.
Well, exactly. And that's what John's saying here is if you claim to be in the light, mm-hmm. if you claim to be a Christian, if you're going to be known by your love, then if you say that, well, I love everybody except,
mm-hmm.
and you say, well, you know, he's saying you're a liar.
Right.
You're deceiving yourself.
You know, if we lose love, then we lose everything.
We really do.
Because it's not either or.
Yeah.
If we lose the love, we lose everything. There's nothing left. I got a commentary that says here, it says, you can do all the right things, believe all the right truths, but if you do not love other Christians, then all is lost.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it has to be other Christians as far as that goes.
No, I mean, you think about what Jesus did on the cross. Did he like every person that he died for?
Probably. You know, it'd be hard to love someone who's hammering into your hands to a cross.
Yeah, but what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Forgive them. He sure
did. You know, and so he literally did love even those who never loved him. He loved those who he knew would never say, I'm going to accept Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But still, in love, he died on the cross for them. They're just for their sins as much as for you and I.
Oh, that is so good.
And so what this pick and choose a la carte love mindset that we have is just foreign to what John is talking about. He's saying you can't do that.
And he talks about, you know, we can't do it. If we're claiming that we're going to be in the light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't be in the light and in the dark at the same time.
No.
You're either one or the other.
Right.
And you claim to hate a brother or sister, you're still in the dark.
Right.
So I just, you know, that really, That is tough for some of us. Well, all of us. I would think we all struggle with that from time to time.
Well, yeah, because, you know, in verse 10, it says anyone who loves their brother or sister. You know, where we naturally go is where all of humanity goes is, well, who's my brother or sister?
Right.
And the rest of Scripture is very clear. It's everybody.
It's everybody. Sure.
And so we like you say, we're all a little bit of an attorney, always looking for the loophole, a way to justify it, a way to excuse ourselves, a way to stack the deck in our favor.
Right.
And John says it's not there. It you either have to be a person in the light who's loving, or you're going to be a person who's hating and you're in the darkness.
Right.
There is no middle ground.
There's nothing in the middle. And, you know, he goes on in there in verse 10 also and says, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble.
Yeah.
If you're in the dark,
right,
you know, how many times have you broken your pinky toe?
Oh, boy.
Because you're in the dark and you think you know where every bit of furniture is.
Yep.
And you find,
bam,
the little piggy that went wee, wee, wee all the way home.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And just break that thing in two.
Yeah.
Because it's dark.
Right.
And we find ourselves stumbling.
Yeah.
And so this whole thing about he's creating this image of, listen, you can't love and be in the light and not love your brother and sister.
No.
You've got they are mutually exclusive with each other. Yeah. You've got to do both.
Now, I like the connection of stumble and darkness because, like you just said, we've all had that have to get a drink of water or take a trip to the bathroom at night. And so we think we know where everything is, and it's like, oh, it's off a step, and boom.
Yeah.
But that word stumble can also be translated as scandal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you think how many times our unlovingness towards someone has created a scandal.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I've never thought of it like that.
It's created some kind of a conflict, some kind of contention between parties. And as a Christian, we should not be the one that you know, causes scandals.
Right.
Causes other people to stumble.
Oh, yeah. And we're guilty of that from time to time.
You know, I would hope accidentally rather than intentionally.
So. Yeah, I would hope it'd be accidental.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to do is stumble. I mean, that is the worst feeling in the world is when you do break that toe and you think you're still in you think you're safe.
Yeah.
But you're not.
Well, but you know, let's be honest. I have met Christians, and I'm sure you have too, that they almost delight. You know, it's the mindset of if you want to feel better about yourself, you need to put someone else down.
Oh, yeah.
And so there are people that kind of get some self-satisfaction if they feel that someone else is stumbling. Mm-hmm. And so if they can be the cause to cause that to happen, and what I say to you is you're not living in the light. You're living in the darkness.
No. So when we get to verse 11, but anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness, boy, as your lawyer, I cannot find a loophole.
No. And see, and that's what that guy who said, you know, I love you because the Bible tells me so, but I don't like you. That's not in here.
Right.
So if you feel like you're loving me out of a command, but you're not liking me, well, you're really choosing hate.
It's what you're choosing. Because there's only two choices.
Right.
And that's it. And you know, anyone who hates a brother and sister, oh gosh, is in the darkness. Boy, that's pretty strong right there. You know what? That is very, very strong, direct language. That does not give you any wiggle room whatsoever.
You know, and I think God puts people in our life that are tough to love. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's people that are prickly, that are abrasive.
Yeah.
There's people that you say the sky's blue and they're just going to go, no, I think it's an orange.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hard to love.
They are. They are very difficult to love. And I think it's in every bit of our relationships we have with just general people. Mm-hmm. You're going to love some, because they're easy.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to love someone that's, I had customers that were abrasive. Mm. And they were not fun to be around.
Right.
And so it's this is a tough saying. This is a tough little thing, but John is wrapping it up all in the bow of love.
Right.
And showing us that you cannot, you know, you're going to be in darkness if you don't love these people.
Yeah. You know, how will a Christian stand out if they act and react and behave just like non-Christians?
Mm-hmm.
So if the world gets back what the world gives, then they're going to go, well, you're just like me.
Mm-hmm.
And so John is saying, if you want to stand out, if you really want to represent who Christ is, then you've got to be different. So instead of reacting in the same manner of hate or dislike, you've got to show love. And almost it's got to be above and beyond, because it's got to be exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, why would you react like that? Why would you show me any kind of compassion or love? Nobody else does. Why would you do that? And it's like, well, I can't or I don't, but my God, who is a God of love, requires me to do that.
Right. Oh, goodness. That's so true. Talk about this last part of verse 11, because this is really intriguing to me. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them.
Yeah.
You know, when you think of being blinded,
mm-hmm.
You remember the song Blinded by the Light?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A Manfred Mann?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Exactly.
Name? Yeah. So blinded by light, I can see.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've looked into the sun or whatever. And, oh, this, it's just so bright. It blinded me, and I couldn't see the, you know, football players when they're playing a game of football or baseball players. The ball is up in the air, and there's the sun, and it blinds them right there.
Yeah.
But blinded by darkness?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thought right there.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it goes back to your stumbling around in the dark kind of thing. You don't know where you're going when it's dark.
Right.
I had a palsy in my left eye. As one of the muscles got weak, and so it shifted.
Okay.
And so it looked like I was cross-eyed, because I was. And so I couldn't see.
Oh.
You know, and boy, when your vision is skewered, it's really tough.
Oh, it is.
I would have to shut one eye to figure out what object was the right object.
Oh, wow.
And so they put a prism in my glass and eventually my eye got stronger and it went away. But boy, you know, your vision is it needs to be clear. It mm-hmm. needs to be focused. And we all know we see better with better lights.
Right.
You know, if you're doing some detail work on something and the light's dim, I was trying to thread a needle the other day, and I couldn't see it. You know, I'm just stabbing away at it because I just couldn't see it.
Right. Yeah. It's terrible. When you can't see what you're trying to do and accomplish, you know, you got to have more light.
And so as Christians, when we feel like we're stumbling around, where we can't see clearly, or we're trying to thread the eye in the needle and we can't get it, mm-hmm. we need to pray to the God of light.
Oh, that's good.
Father, illuminate this
mm-hmm.
because I can't see it correctly.
Right.
Without you showing me the way forward.
That's so true. And just being blinded by the darkness, that shows you that you can't love.
No.
If you've got this much hate.
No, and that's the other prayer is, Father, help me to find a reservoir of love
mm-hmm.
for these people I don't find lovable.
Right.
It's not saying change them. That's always seems to be our prayer, Robert.
You know, that's a great way. Change them.
Yeah, change them to be more like me. But right. the prayer is, change me to find an ability to love them.
Oh, yeah. That's so true.
And that makes us more like Jesus. Jesus didn't say, hey, you know, if you get on my wagon, you know, it's all cool. It's like, I'm going to love you for who you are.
Mm-hmm. And I think about what you said in the last podcast, so Father, forgive them. Boy, you know, here's Romans that are nailing him to a cross,
mm-hmm.
and his own nation has accused him and you know, made fun of him, spit on, you know, just did, and told lies about him.
Yeah.
And Jesus went through all that suffering, and then when the Father, forgive them, mm-hmm. for they know not what they're doing.
Yeah.
is coming from the cross. That is, there's your example right there.
It really is.
There is your example to go by. If Jesus can say, Father, forgive them, for they know what they're doing, and can love them in that moment,
yeah.
What does that teach us?
You know, and that was the worst of the worst of all circumstances, all situations. You know, and I'm thinking if your heart is going to turn hatred, mm-hmm. turn towards the dark, it would certainly be when you're in the pain of being crucified.
Right.
You know, thoughts of butterflies and rainbows is going to fly right out of the window.
Yeah. They're not anywhere around.
And so what's at the core of our Jesus? Love.
Love.
And so even in the worst of the worst, towards the people that are inflicting the pain upon him, he still shows love towards them.
Well, I tell you, this was really, really a very powerful section in 1 John chapter 2. And so anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. So my prayer is that that we always seek the light.
Absolutely.
And try to live for Jesus in that way. Well, we have done it again. We have talked another 15 or so minutes.
I know.
About
it's those souls that I worry about.
That is something to worry about.
Yeah.
It really is. So thank you for your thoughts today, Peter. And thank you for listening to Two Brothers, One Bible podcast. I'm Robert Wakefield.
I'm Peter Searson.
And we will look forward to having you be with us at our next podcast.
Wow.
How'd you like that?
I like it.
All right. Thanks for listening, and God bless you. Thank you for listening to Two Brothers, One Bible podcast.
We want to encourage you to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and be sure and tell a friend.